Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. If you please stand for the reading of the word, 2 Kings chapter 7. We're going to read this together, verses 1 through 8. 2 Kings 7, 1 through 8. Elisha promises food. It's a passage of text that many of you may know. This is one of my favorites. But I want to talk to you from the standpoint, why should we sit here until we die? Are you ready? It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of finely milled flour will sell for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer on whose arm the king leaned answered the man of God and said, if the Lord should make wisdom in heaven for the rain, could this thing take place? Elisha said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but because you doubt, you will not eat of it. How many of y'all know you can either be in a place of faith or a place of unbelief? You got 2 choices. You can either be in a place of faith or a place of unbelief. Come on, who's in here this morning? Say, I'm going to be in a place of faith. I'm going to be in a place of faith no matter what's been said, no matter what's been done. I'm going to be in a place of faith. And so in verse 3 it says, now 4 men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city's gate, and they said to one another, why should we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit still here, we will also die. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans, the Syrians. If they let us live, we will live, and if they kill us, we will only die. Verse 5. So they got up at twilight to go to the Aramean camp, but when they came to the edge of the camp, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans' army to hear the sound of chariots and the sound of horses and the sound of a great army. They had said to one another, the king of the Israel has hired against the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come against us. So the Arameans set out and fled during the twilight, left their tents, horses, and donkeys, even left the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. Verse 8. When these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried away from there silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they went back and entered another tent and carried some valuable things from there also and went and hid them as well. Lord, we thank you for the word. It's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor this morning and said, don't sit there and die. Come on, look at your other neighbor, who is your second choice, and say, don't sit there and die. And don't be offended that you're my second choice. Thank you, worship team. Hey, good to have you guys back. We're missing a lot of people. We've had camps and all kinds of different stuff. They're gone, but youth camp's getting back today, and I believe their life has changed. Amen? Amen. Well, we've been in this series called Digging Ditches. Everybody say digging ditches. And the reason we've been calling it that is out of the text of 2 Kings chapter 4, the same prophet here, of how the 3 kings are together and they're going to take some country back. They're going to take some ground. And I love the beginning of the text because he says to him, hey, which way do you want to go up? Jehoshaphat asked him. He says, hey, which way do you want to go up? He said, through the way of the wilderness of Edom. How many of y'all know before you go higher, there's some things that you're going to have to dig before you go higher? A foundation always goes down before it goes up. You have to correct soil. There's some things in your life that you have to take away to get ready for more. How many of y'all lived enough life that you know there's some things that you need to get rid of so you can get more and better inside of there? That's what digging a ditch does. That's what digging a ditch does. I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody that digs a ditch. I don't want to just show up. I want to show up and be the best. I want to have the shovel out and say, hey, you know what? We've done it this way a long time, but let's try to do something a little bit different and get something else inside of there. Come on, how many of y'all know you're a new creation in Christ? Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. I tell you what, Jesus dug a ditch for you. Come on, you ought to be thankful that Jesus has dug a ditch for you. He made a way when there seemed to be no way. And so in this passage of text, we've been talking about service. And last week we talked about being a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. How many of y'all that stuck with you through this last week and you wanted to be a part of the solution? All right, six of you. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you six right now to be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And just because you've been a problem to somebody else doesn't mean that you can't be a solution to someone. Come on, get that in your spirit. Just because you've been a problem to somebody doesn't mean that you can be a solution to somebody else. And so here's the same prophet here, and you know the story. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a reason that they're in Samaria. They're running for their lives, and Elisha hears from God. In fact, they're in such a bad place of the famine. The Bible tells us this in 6:25, that a donkey's head was sold for 8 shekels of silver, and a fourth of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. How many of you know you're desperate when you're looking up in places where pigeons and doves have been to sell it? Yuck. I've been in enough barns and been in places to where I could be a millionaire in this particular time and day of dove dung. How many of y'all know it's a famine when you're eating out of a donkey's head? That is a famine. In fact, the story tells us that this woman comes to the king in disgust and says, hey, we're in such a bad place right now that this lady came to me and said, hey, if we eat your boy today, I promise you we'll eat mine tomorrow. And now I can't find her anyway. You think? I can't find her anywhere. Who's going to bring their child to that? So that's at the place that they're at. And so the king comes before Elisha and said, I ought to kill you for even the reason that we're here. And he begins to prophesy and he says, by this time tomorrow. You know, I just want to speak that out. Prophecy is speaking some things out, and I want to speak some things out, declares the Lord, over your family. By this time tomorrow. Some of y'all got it. I want to speak this out for the Americans today. Who's American in here? And say, by this time tomorrow. Come on, how many of y'all believe we serve the God of suddenly? He can suddenly split the Red Sea. He can suddenly walk on water. Come on, he can suddenly heal ears. He can suddenly bring things back. And I love this story right here. He says, by this time tomorrow. And the unbelief guy says, I don't care if they opened up heaven and poured it out on this land. I promise you it won't turn around. I want to say that again. You can either be in a place of faith or you can be in a place of unbelief. And as I said that by this time tomorrow, come on, I'm trying to amp up some people in the crowd today. I'm trying to amp up the people of God. I'm trying to amp up some warriors. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the lawyer has said, no matter what the doctor has said, no matter what CNN or Fox or NBC has said, I want to tell you, we can have faith today to say, by this time tomorrow, come on, get it in your heart. By this time tomorrow, God can turn some things around. God will turn some things around. But also let me tell you something about prophecy. If you get a word and you sit on your hiney, it won't get fulfilled. I believe there's even been some, well, there's obvious 2 Peter and Timothy reminds us in the last days that there's going to be false prophets. And there's been a lot of false prophecy that's been projected this year. Just watch YouTube. Come on, somebody. And so, but I also believe this, even when the prophet is dead on, if the person that he speaks where to go and what to do, if they sit on their hiney, it won't be fulfilled. Amen? Sometimes we think that, oh, God, you just open up the door. You make it happen. God, you plant the seeds. You water it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I planted the seeds. Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. If you want God to bring the increase, you got to plant seeds and water it. I'm going to say that again. If you want God to increase in your life, you've got to plant the seeds, water it, and God will bring the increase. And lots of times people say, well, this was prophesied over me that I was supposed to be in ministry. Well, let me tell you something. If you're supposed to be in ministry, get in a ministry and start to serve and be faithful. It's not just going to come through osmosis. It's not going to come from sitting down inside of a chair. And what I love about this particular text here, God uses four lepers. It goes on to verse 3. It says, now four men were lepers, and they were at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to one another, why should we sit here and die? I heard this story the other day. I was listening to a business podcast, and they brought up this story about Elon Musk. You guys know who he is, the owner of Tesla. And a few years back, there was like a soccer team of young players in Thailand that were stuck in this cave. How many of y'all remember that? They were stuck in that cave. And they had been in there for like a week. In fact, like 6 days. And Elon Musk, he says, you know what? I want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And so he has all of these engineers and people that work for him, obviously for Tesla, and he owns other businesses. And so he goes to his guys and says, hey, I'd really like to help out. They were like in a cavern that, and what had happened is a monsoon had came in, and not only the water from the sky, but it flooded inside of that cavern there, and it got them in the middle, like 2 miles in, and they were in a high spot, but it was filling up with water. And they had lived in there for 6 days. And so he says, why don't we make a submarine that we can go through there, and we can get one kid at a time and take that submarine through there. And so they'd worked on it, and he'd spent thousands and thousands of dollars and used his engineers to build this. So he flies it over to Thailand, and it's like a little torpedo. You can look it up, and it's a submarine where you could put one child inside of there, and then you could send them back through the caverns to safety. And so he gets there, and they begin to work with it. There's some places where it's just too tight of a bend because it had to be long enough to put somebody inside of there. And finally, the authorities that are over it, of Thailand, they come to him and they say, we're not going to be able to use this because there's no way that we can maneuver this thing through there. He said, okay, that's fine. You know what Elon Musk did not do? This is what I was learning in this podcast, this business podcast that I was listening to. Elon Musk did not throw his submarine down. He didn't pout. He didn't come over here and say, you know what, you didn't use my idea. I'm talking to Christians right now, and y'all don't even know it. You ain't going to use my idea. You know what, I hope they just drowned. I'm kidding, y'all. Y'all listen to the story, all right? Pay attention. They're sitting there, and they think to themselves, he didn't do that. You know what he did? This is what's great about Elon Musk, and this is why he's successful. He said, you know what, if you don't use my deal, that's fine. But what can I do to help get them boys out of there? Come on, you know what you ought to be as a believer? You ought to have something in your heart because there's people out there that need rescued. There's people that are out there that they need Jesus. There's people out at Walmart, family members that you have, neighbors that you have. And I'm here to tell you, if you get pouty and you sit on the bench, people are still going to stay lost. People are still going to stay in the world. People are still going to stay sick. I'm here to tell you, you need to get off your rear and be something that God has called you to be and go where God has called you to go. And there's a reason Elon Musk, he's successful because he said, you know what, I'm not just going to sit here and watch them die. I'm going to get up out of the chair. I'm going to stand up. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, after you've done everything to stand, what? We're going to stand there for. And here's four lepers. They hear the prophecy of the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. It goes on. They come back to the camp, and the people run to the Aramean camp so much that the prophecy is fulfilled that the man doesn't get it because they trample him on the way. But what I love about the text here is God uses four lepers. Come on, get this in your heart this morning. God uses four lepers to turn the whole nation around. God uses four lepers. What is four lepers? Think about four lepers here. These are people that are isolated. They can't go out. These are people like that had just tested positive for leprosy. They can't go anywhere. They have to quarantine the rest of their lives. They can't do anything. They can't be around anybody. They have to be isolated. Can I tell you this? The voice, the biggest voice of the enemy is isolation. I've said it before and I'll say it every week until you get it. The biggest voice of the enemy. Like when it all happened in 2020, I'm telling you, I knew that was a voice from the enemy because the enemy always wants to isolate you. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. The enemy will tell you, I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. Can I tell you this in confidence? There's people down the row from you and next to you that have gone through what you're going through, or maybe they're about to go through what you're going through now. That's why he says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of saints together. I'm telling you, we get in here and we rub shoulders, iron sharpens iron. John's faith builds my faith. Jim's faith builds my faith. I get in the house of God for a reason because I need it to fight the good fight of faith. But the four lepers here, they're isolated. Also think about these four lepers here. I think about them. They had suffered great loss. Well, let me just ask you this. How many of y'all have ever felt isolated before? We should all raise our hand. How many of y'all have ever felt great loss before? These guys here, because of leprosy, they've obviously physically, history tells us and doctors tell us that when you have leprosy, the skin disorder, you lose ears, you lose noses, you have skin falling right off of your bones, so that they've experienced great loss. They've experienced relationally great loss because they can't be with the family members that they loved at one time. How many of y'all have experienced great loss before? A family member, or maybe physically, you've experienced great loss. Or financially, they've spent everything that they can on doctors to get just a little bit of relief. They've experienced great loss. Emotionally, being an outcast and not going to a place where they can be comforted in love, they've experienced great loss. They experience lots of stuff. You know, there's people in this room, they've experienced great loss, and you've experienced lots of things. But I just want to give you a word of encouragement this morning. If God used four people that have experienced all of those things, how much more does God want to use you today? You may have experienced great loss, but it doesn't mean that it checks you off the list of being mightily used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may have been emotionally isolated and emotionally torn apart, but I'm here to tell you, if God can use four lepers to change a nation, God can use you. Come on, some of you need to get this in your heart today. I don't care if you're 80, I don't care if you're 70. I don't care if you're 60, 50, 40. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what nation you come from. I don't care what kind of background of abuse you've been through. I'm telling you, if God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? I don't care who you've hurt. I don't care what you've said, what you've done. He forgives us as far as the east is from the west. And I'm telling you, the things that you've gone through, you can be the open door for people in your family to come around to Jesus. These four lepers here, because of their obedience, they got up. You know, the Bible is full of people that shouldn't have been picked first, right? Think about Moses. Moses shouldn't have been picked first for what God used him for. In fact, he should have never even been born. He was hidden most of his life before he went into Pharaoh's palace. He was hiding. Think about Gideon. God used a man named Gideon that was hiding like a weenie threshing wheat. You know, there's some of you out there, you like to hide. But can I tell you something? I want to talk to you that's been hiding. Maybe you've been hiding behind a sin. You've been hiding behind a past. You've been hiding behind something that's been spoken over you. I'm here to tell you, God's not done with you. God is not finished with you. Stop hiding. You are a mighty man or woman of God. That's what the Bible says about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And God uses Gideon. I love it that David shows up on the scene for the giant. He's just a boy. He's just a harp player. He's just a little shepherd boy. But how many of y'all know God used David? And not only God used David at that moment, God began to use David for the rest of his life. Paul persecuted Christians. But God used Paul, a guy that was a lousy, deadbeat, two-timing, no good, counterfeit punk. God turned his life around. Did he not? God turned his life around. Come on, who's in here that God has turned their life around? God used Paul to shake up the whole Roman Empire. Come on, I'm trying to get this in your heart today that there's so many people that they're just like these lepers, that they've experienced things, that they've gone through some things. It doesn't mean that you're over and you're through. That means God's just getting started of what he can do in your life. If God can use these four lepers, God can use you. But they said this, did they not? Look at it in verse 3. Why should we just sit here and die? I got me an example over here. You know, I was a youth pastor for quite some time. And now, I got to see how this works here. You know what we do? You know what happens when you sit? Oh, it's like this. Yeah. Don't follow me. You know what happens when we sit? You get lazy. I call Cody time to time in the afternoon. I say, what are you doing? We always joke back and forth with one another. I'm watching Nick at Night reruns on Nickelodeon. Because I know that he's not and he knows that I'm not. Can I tell you something about people that sit all the time? They're not successful. I mean, we live in a generation today where, hey, it's just way more comfortable to sit at the house with the remote and get the stimulus check rather than being changing the world we live in. But, oh, let me do this. I got me a drink over here. I got me a little umbrella. I wanted a snow cone. Whoever made this for me, this is not a snow cone. You're fired. Oh, I lost my umbrella. You know what I see about believers and Christians? They like to sit. And you know what happens when you sit? You get relaxed. You get real relaxed. You know, I see people, they stand during like camp meeting or a move of God. But if they're not careful, they get back home and then they sit. And when you sit, you get lazy. You get tired. And then what you do is you get real comfortable. And then you come into church and you sit some more. It is just way too loud in here. I don't like the lights. Some of these people are way too friendly. I mean, it's 10 o'clock. I don't like the way the check-in is. I don't like what they're doing in children's church. And they sit. Come on, pastor, this is not very kind. I didn't come to be kind today. I come to pastor you. And they sit. Brandy said, you ought to take this. It's a big donut. Oh, yeah. Oh. Let's have church. Let's have church. If there ain't no donuts, I ain't coming. Somebody sat in my seat. OMG. They sat in my chair. They parked in my parking spot. I always park there. We sit and we complain. They said if we sit here, we'll just die. But if we go, we might die. See, it's almost to a point of, hey, death is an option here, but maybe rather we can be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. How many of you know when you sit long enough, you just get so comfortable? When you sit long enough, you don't read no more. When you sit, you know where we're at right now? There's people right now. They're watching online. I'm so thankful that you're watching. But get in the house of God. underwear church. And you know what? And listen, I'm so thankful that they're getting it. But you know what? It might be beneficial to you, but it's not beneficial to your children. Because you know they ain't going to sit there and listen to me. Come on, let's just be honest. They ain't going to sit there and listen to the praise and worship and all that different stuff. When we have it at our house, it is, I don't know about y'all, your house may be perfect, but with four kids in my home, there ain't no way. Come on, when we had church in the parking lot, Brandy said, a lot of you were like, this is so awesome. Brandy was like, that is terrible. I don't ever want to do that again. Ketch is pulling my hair. He's eating gum, throwing it up in the front, all kinds of different stuff. Hey, your kids may be perfect. I have some feral cats in mine, okay? But listen, I'm just here to tell you, you get comfortable. I would ask for a show of hands who's comfortable, but I could just point you out. I don't even have to ask. There's been people that's coming here, they're still in the same problems they were in 20 years ago. They're still offended at the things they were 10 years ago. They're still dealing with the same things that they were 20 years ago. You know why? Because they came in, they got saved, and then they said, you know what? I'm going to sit and just die here in my offense. I'm just going to sit here and die holding on to complaining. I'm just going to sit here and die. Wait, they are not doing it right. Hey, we would love your help. Why don't you just stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Amen? Hey, here's another one. You know why we're at where we are today, conservatives? Oh, I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I just want to stay right here and let them take over our country into a tyrannical government and let them do whatever they want to do, because I just don't want to offend nobody. Hey, the only way it's going to change if it's Americans do this. Can I just tell you that? If we sit there, America is going to die. I'm ready to stand. Come on, believers, I'm ready to stand. It's time to stand up. You can sit back down. I'm not done preaching. Hallelujah. You know what we do? Lots of times we say, you know what? We blame it on this. I'm just waiting on God. And this, I should have really thought this chair through, because this is a long ways down here getting in and out of. I'm just going to wait on God. You know, I'm going to wait till I have the right amount of income to start tithing. Can I tell you this? You'll never be able to afford it. You just got to do it, baby. You just got to stand. You know what? I'm waiting on the Lord for the right moment and the right ministry to serve in. Oh, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Now, I know there's some of you that are new and visiting. Hey, I think that's great. You coming on a time where I'm punishing the people. All right? But listen, if you wait on the right, it's like saying, you know what, we're just waiting for the right moment to have kids. There's never a right moment to have kids. You might as well just get it over with. Right? We're just waiting for the right time. I promise you, that's never going to happen with children. I'm just going to get comfortable. Just get comfortable. Come on, I'm trying to spark something in you. The reason that the four lepers changed the whole nation of Israel and were an answer to the prophecy, because they didn't just sit there. Come on, when you sit there, you get comfortable. When you sit there, you'll eventually die. Something's gonna die. It depends on you. Let's look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. As I was studying last night, the Lord reminded me of this particular text here. And this, you know, they're coming off of Mount Transfiguration, and the disciples, they see this guy coming up, and he has this boy that is possessed. And he says at night he grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. And I told you disciples to drive it out, and they could not do it. Verse 19 of Mark 9, 19. He said, he replied, O unbelieving, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him. When the demonic spirit saw him, immediately it threw the boy into convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he answered, since childhood. Verse 22, the demon has often thrown him both into fire and into water, intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can. The dad said, it depends on you, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, it depends on you. How many of y'all know that he has the capability of absolutely doing anything? But it all depends on you. You need to get off your hiney. You want to see the miracle of healing in your body? Don't just sit there. I'm telling you, you get up. You get on your hands and you begin to declare. You get on your feet and begin to declare, I am the healed of the Lord. I'm not just going to sit here and die. It dependent upon me. I'm not going to sit here and just dwell in all the bad stuff that I've had. You know, that's exactly what the enemy wanted of these lepers here. But what they said, you know what? It depends on us. If we get up, we could change the whole nation. And I want to tell you the same thing this morning. As Jesus told this dad, if you can. Come on, if you can. If you can. Remember in Exodus chapter 14 where they come to, they're at the Red Sea and Pharaoh finally lets them go. And they're coming up on him strong. And he begins to cry out to the Lord. And what does the Lord tell him? Stop crying. Stop praying. And start moving forward. Some of y'all, you just sat there and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried. You want the supernatural? It's going to take a step of the natural. You want to walk on water? You better get out the boat. Who am I talking to today? It depends on you. But pastor, here we go. Y'all ready? But pastor, the Bible says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, pastor. But why does it go on to say they shall mount up with wings like eagles? They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. You know, I never understood this scripture because I thought to myself, if you're waiting, you're not running. If you're waiting, you're not walking. And then I thought to myself, well, that word wait goes both ways. You know, rather than sitting there and waiting until you die, you know what you could do is, rather than putting the towel over you, you could say, you know what, Lord? Strength will rise as I wait upon the Lord. God, if it's being a part of the host team, I'd love to do it. You know what? Nobody's never opened the door for me, but I believe strength will come. See, the miracle happened as they got out of the chair and gold and silver got in their life. How many of y'all need some increase in your life? How many of y'all need for God to turn some things around? I'm just here to tell you, strength will rise. Give and it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. See, you give of service. Say, you know what? I'll be a part of the host team and I'll be faithful. Let me serve in a capacity that I need to serve in. You know what? I'm nice. I can do something. Rather than sitting there and dying, I'd rather get out of my chair and be a service to somebody. You know what? Rather than sitting there and complaining about the children's department, let me get out the towel and say, strength will rise. I need strength. So God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait on you in the children's department. You know what? I need strength. I am going to go rock babies inside the nursery. You know what? I need strength. I'm going to help people park in the parking lot. I need strength. I'm going to go down to the arena and help out down there. I need strength. I'm going to help out my PTA board meetings. Come on, amen. I need strength. Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. Are you guys getting something out of this text this morning? There's so many people that want to sit in the chair of life. Want to just sit here. You bring it to me. I'm telling you, you go to it and it'll turn your life around. Get this in your heart this morning. There's many of you, you're dying. You're mad. You're upset. You have a perspective. This is the what I'm upset about a certain thing. Can I tell you something? When you sit, you can only see it a certain way. Because you're immobile, you can't go nowhere. When you sit, you can't see it the way somebody else sees it. When you're stuck in a belief system of no, I'm not going there. This is what you're doing right here. I'm not going to see it any other way. I'm going to stay right here in my comfort, in my offense, in my hurt, and I ain't going nowhere, and you can't make me. But I'm telling you, when you begin to stand, you'll go places. You'll go from faith to faith to faith. Right now, you may be seeing things from an earthly perspective, from a doctor's perspective, from a lawyer's perspective, from a CNBC perspective, from a Fox perspective, but as you begin to stand up and stand on the Word of God and begin to serve and say, God's strength will rise as I wait upon the Lord, it will take you to a heavenly perspective and give you eyes to see and give you ears to hear. Come on, if you need a miracle inside of your family, don't just sit there and watch it die. You know, I truly believe this. Talking to lots of medical people in 2020, there was people in nursing homes that just sat there and died. Why? Because they were isolated. I'm not, don't think that I'm heartless, because I'm not. But I'm telling you, I would rather have the comfort of my family and standing together rather than just sitting somewhere and dying. There's some of you, you have a dream inside of your heart of a business that God gave you in 1985. I'm just waiting on the Lord to speak when the time is right. You'll sit there and the dream will die. The family will die. Come on, vision will die. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. John, if you come, go ahead and come and pray or play. There's one last thing that I want to share with you is this. When you get it in your heart to make the decision to stand up, can I tell you something? The enemy's only going to come at you stronger. He roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can I tell you, he's not just going to let you stand up. He's not just going to let you get away with it. You're going to have to learn to fight. So when you stand, get ready. And I remember this story of this little boy that was in church, and he was standing at the wrong time. And his mama came over, and he said, "Boy, sit down." He said, "No." So she came to him again and said, "Boy, sit down." He said, "No." So she comes to him again and says, "Son, I'm not going to tell you again. I said, sit down." He tells her again. He puffs out his chest. "I said, no." So she grabs him by both the ears, slams him down on the chair. So he's sitting there. He's sulking, right? I said, "What do you have to say about yourself?" And the little boy goes, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Come on, go ahead and stand with me right now. Come on, I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy is going to come your way and say, you know what, you didn't hear from God. The enemy is going to come your way and say, you know what, you need to just sit there and die. I don't care what kind of dream, I don't care what kind of passion that's been put inside of your heart. I don't care about that. You just need to sit down. And you know what? You may have the effects of things in your life, like maybe symptoms inside of your body. That may be going on the outside, but you say, you know what? On the inside. On the outside, you may say that I'm sick. On the outside, you may have given me a bad report, but on the inside, I'm standing. On the inside, I'm healed. On the inside, Psalm 107 and verse 20 says, He sent His word and He healed me and He delivered me from all destruction. On the outside, it may look terrible. It may look like there's no way of escape from that. But I'm telling you, you need to have it in your heart. On the inside, I'm standing up. When you begin to work in a team inside the church and begin to serve, there's going to be people that rub you the wrong way. And the enemy's going to tell you, you know what you need to do is just go sit back down. I'm telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. This is a growing moment for you. This is a stretching moment for you. Say, enemy, you might want me to sit down, but you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to stand anyway. I'm going to stay after it. See who in here is... I ask it before, but there's many of y'all in here, you're just like the leper. You've experienced great loss. You've had some experiences in your life. You've lost some people relationally. You've lost some things emotionally. You've been isolated. You've been hurt. I just want to tell you a word from the Lord from 2 Kings chapter 7. This is here for a reason to tell us that God wants to use you. You may have experienced those things. You may have gone through those things, but it doesn't mean that God is done with you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Maybe it's opening a door. Maybe it is serving donuts. That's a holy ministry, by the way. Sorry. Erase the tape. Corny preacher jokes. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's working in the children's church. Maybe it's working inside the youth ministry. Listen. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're done. Maybe God's put a dream inside of your heart, like tea party type stuff, of how we're supposed to change what's going on inside of our city, what's going on inside of our county, what's going on inside of our state, what's going on inside of our country. I'm telling you, if you just sit there, it'll die. We've got to stand. Come on, who am I talking to today? 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 Just because of that bad relationship or how it ended or how terrible it was, I'm here to tell you, God wants to use you. No matter the heartache. Pastor, you don't realize the pain that I've been through. These lepers could have said the same thing. You don't understand the regret, the shame, the guilt that I've been through. These lepers could have said the very same thing. But God used four men that were isolated, had suffered great loss, experienced lots of things, and God used them. I'm just here to tell you, God wants to use you. Get rid of the chair. Get rid of all the things that you're comfortable in right now. There's many of you that even since camp meeting, I told you very beginning of the message at camp meeting, I believe you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I wasn't talking about your physical body. I was talking about your spiritual body. And already, you find yourself in your spiritual walk with Christ. You're back in the chair, sitting on the beach, listening to the tunes and just sitting back and watching life happen. Can I tell you? That's a good way to die. I can prophesy it over you all day long. I believe you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. But you've got to get out of the chair. Come on. You've got to get out of the chair. You got to get out of the bed. Step out of the boat. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. I believe you'll hear the word of the Lord that says, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right or to the left. And God is able. God is able. Lord, in Jesus' name, these that lifted their hands. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for these. They've sat on the fence. They've sat in comfort. They've sat in chairs. Life's become mundane. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for these that have experienced the same things that these lepers have gone through. God, you used these lepers to bring the increase. You brought the increase, but God, you used them to plant the seed and water it. And so, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for these that have their hands raised, lifted, and say, you know what? I've lost my zeal. I've lost my passion. I've sat on the fence for quite some time, but Lord, I speak over them right now. I pray that they'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I pray that after they've done everything to stand, they'd stand. Oh Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you give them confidence. You give them confidence that there is a recompense of reward for those that stand. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God, right now, I thank you that you're stirring something up on the inside of them. That there's something practical that they can do today, even God. Whether it's calling somebody or reaching out to somebody or standing up. Standing up. I pray for the power of standing up today. The power of standing up. Lord, give them the ability. Give them the direction, God. Anoint their steps in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, turn it around. In Jesus' name, turn it around. By this time tomorrow. Come on, get it in your spirit today. By this time tomorrow. Come on, church, I want you to say it with me. By this time tomorrow. Come on, let's say it one more time. By this time tomorrow. One more time. By this time tomorrow. What is it? By this time tomorrow, things are going to turn some things around. Things are going to be turned around in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're in this room and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say that I don't have a relationship with him, or maybe you've turned your back on him. You've broken contract with him. You're living a life of sin. Sin will separate you from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you're out there and your life is full of sin. You're away from the Lord. You're not living a righteous lifestyle. I want to give you the opportunity this morning to admit that you're a sinner. To believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, and on the third day rose again. I want to give you the opportunity to confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, the Bible says about Jesus that he's the friend that sticks closer than any brother. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And can I tell you, the scripture is full of Jesus being the healer. The scripture is full of Jesus being the provider. The scripture is full of the healer or Jesus being the deliverer. And I'm telling you, he'll do the same thing for you. If you feel isolated, I'm telling you, there's no greater feeling than to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. He come live on the inside of you and forgive you as far as the east is from the west. I don't care what's been said. I don't care what you've done. Now is the time, and this is the place to get things right with Christ. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, you say this with me, Pastor. That's me. I'm at a place in my life right now that I'm away from the Lord. I'm not serving God. I want you to say this after me. Say, Jesus, I believe. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. Today, God, I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my life, Jesus. Make me new. I confess you as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.